It is Monday morning, and Margaret Fetty is here as always. Good morning,
Howard. Good morning.
And we have a special guest with us today. The auditor from the Monroe County is with us today, Steve Salter. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mike, and good morning, Margaret. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Steve?
Pretty good.
We appreciate you being with us for a multitude of reasons. Number one, we know how busy things are in the auditor's office, and we know that things are going to get even busier. And we've been talking about the developments with the Hartman and Williams report that they were contracted out to come in and find some resolutions to what's been happening in the office because of some transaction records between January 1, 2012 and December 13 of 2014, according to the Herald Times. I'm going to let you start from the beginning and let us know why they were brought in the first place and what their reporting has told you.
Okay. The county commissioners contracted with Hartman and Williams. And Hartman and Williams is a CPA firm located out of Bloomfield, Indiana, and they are former State Board of Accounts retired examiners, so they have a background knowledge. They were brought in to reconcile the monthly books at the on the treasurer's side that hadn't been done for 2 years at that time. And as a result of it, they found also that there is a system error with our software on the financial side. And let me explain that real quick. The ability to import data from the auditor's side to the treasurer's side should be a simple procedure, but it's not. One of the items that our current software is facing is the fact that ACHs, or electronic transfers, you should be able to push a button and import the data from the auditor over to the treasurer real simply. That's not the case, simply because our current software doesn't have that capability. So we have that issue to contend with. Also, when you get onto the treasurer's side, keep in mind that when you import the data from one spot to another, it's got to go to a certain area. The cash book, which is the important piece of the information where the treasurer posts all the transactions, just wasn't set up. Why it's never been set up, I do not know. You'll have to talk to the treasurer. As a result, the ability to import data from the auditor to the treasurer, it results in the auditor having to send hordes of paperwork over. And then the trouble with paperwork is it can, one, get misplaced, or number two, it can, in some cases, not be right. So whereas if you import one file, and then you import the file over, so therefore you eliminate that.
So nothing gets lost in translation.
That's right. And so right now is the Hartman-Williams report brought that to my attention because it's important, because we are, as a county, we are going more and more every day to making payments through the electronic process, the ACH. I know probably you, probably Margaret, and probably a lot of people listening pay their bills electronically. Most people probably get their paychecks direct deposited electronically. So therefore, we're going more and more to that here at the county, and it's important that all the ducks are in a row, the system's working properly. So what I've done is I have met with our current vendor and talked to them about a resolution, how to fix that problem on our side. We've also looked at the possibility of going to another vendor, and, you know, concerning that, and I'm not ready to get into that yet because that's sort of behind the scenes yet, and I need to report to the commissioners.
Yeah, if that negotiation's that. Going on, absolutely.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just quickly, it sounds like it isn't the auditor's office and the treasurer's office has to work together. There is no kinda, there is no sorta. That has to be the case, correct?
Correct.
And if their software isn't functioning properly, it doesn't matter what your software is doing, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so everybody's got to get on the same page to make that work. Does the software that you have right now,
so
they can talk
to? So don't we have technology people, though? And why is this an issue that has only, quote, surfaced in this last, when this report came up? I don't understand. I mean, it's, if you could explain that to me.
Sure, no problem. It surfaced under this last report simply because we started in late 2014 and in early 15 doing more and more stuff electronically. It was brought to my attention early in 15 about this issue, but unfortunately, when it was brought to my attention, that's when the audit was being started. So I met with the Hartman and Williams people, and it was decided that let them do the complete audit, let them find out, you know, the entire process, before we would move forward, because any kind of correction like that that's going to be needed will be anywhere from a minimal cost to the county or to a absorbent cost, because software, the implementation of software and such doesn't come cheap. And so therefore, I made the decision as county auditor, once it was brought to my attention earlier this year, that we would wait until we saw the Hartman-Williams report before we could move forward, because it would give me time to sort of evaluate what's going on, what other maybe problems that was out there that was flying under the radar screen.
Our guest this morning is County Auditor Steve Salter. He checks in with us here on a Monday morning. And I don't want to make any assumptions here, and that's why I'm thrilled to have you with us, because you have the answers.
Right.
The financial system software wasn't being used enough because there weren't enough electronic transactions. Is that what the problem was? So the software was in place, but the way transactions were being kept track of, it just wasn't used frequently enough to know it wasn't working. Tell me about that.
Okay. The last statement you made is probably the closest to being correct.
Okay.
The fact that we just started doing the electronic transfers more frequently sort of ran up the red flag. Prior to that, the amount of electronic transfers being made or paid, like payments made, were infrequent. So therefore, this could have been a problem that was floating around for several years, but never came forward until we started to push the button even more and push electronic transfers through on a more frequent basis. And as a result, the Hartman-Williams audit was looking in both sides, because the information starts on my side of the room, the auditor's office, and then floats over to the treasurer. So therefore, it's important that they reconcile the treasurer's books, which hadn't been done for several years. But at the same time, it was very important for them to see the starting point of the paperwork in the process.
Steve Salter is the county auditor. He checks in with us here on a Monday morning. So the pieces are in place, but the software you have now, you're not sure if it can handle the amount of electronic transfers moving forward, or the software is not compatible with treasurer's office?
I think that any one of us listening to this right now, Steve, is just wondering, okay, so do we have software that's...
Well, he mentioned he was looking at software down the road.
Are we looking at complete replacement, or are we talking about add-ons to it, or... The big question is, and something we've heard repeatedly, is that there seems to be problems with you working with the treasurer. Now, is that just, are we actually saying that there's just problems with software compatibility? Are we talking about actually, are there problems working with them, and therefore we've got an even bigger problem here down the road?
Actually, the problem is with the software, because of the fact that when the information comes from our office over to the treasurer, if the information is not correct, or the data behind it is not correct, it creates a problem. Now, each month, and sometimes more frequent, like weekly, a representative of my office and a representative of the treasurer's office sits down and they balance a portion of the books. And what I mean by that is the portion of the books, it's what I call the bottom portion of the treasurer's cash book that reflects the fund balances of the various funds we have. And so, for example, if one side is off from the other, they work as a team to find it, and each month they balance. During this period of time, from 2013 forward, each day or week or whenever they do it, the two sides have always balanced. So it's not like it's a matter of the fact that all the transactions are out of whack. It's just what I call the top portion of it, which is where the taxes are collected, the excise tax, things like that. So there is a communication going on weekly, maybe monthly at the latest, between the auditor and the treasurer's office concerning the reconciling of the fund balances, because the two sides are supposed to run parallel to each other. So hopefully that explained it.
Steve Salter is our guest this morning. He's the county auditor from Monroe County. Now, there's been some forced balances in the past, and the State Board of Accounts said, well, this is the number over here, and then we've heard this is the smaller number over there. What is the number, and are we on the right track of getting that more accurately now?
It's my understanding, Mike, that the number's I think it was $42 or $43.
Right, $41.93 or yeah. something like that. Yeah,
you got to remember one thing about the State Board of Accounts, and I'll come to their defense because I used to be one of those.
Right, right. I was going to ask you about that. Right.
The State Board of Accounts came up with a number based upon the information given to them, and I think, and I don't speak for them, I just speak from past experience when I was with them. You run out of time, audit time. You're given so much time to do an audit, and then you have to move on. More than likely, what happened was they got into it, they saw that there was a problem, they arrived at a number, and then left it with the understanding that they knew that they were going to have to come back and research it even further. Hartman and Williams, on the other hand, was contracted to do it. So
there's a huge difference there, because Hartman and Williams needs to complete it, where the State Board of Accounts just needs to start it. Would that be accurate?
Yes. Yeah, that was out of the way the county commissioners wanted it set up, yes.
So, well, that makes sense. So Hartman and Williams takes a look at it. They find out in their original, at least when they get started, they think, well, this is going to be a lot more involved than what we thought. So
right.
That's where the $150,000 came from, the $75,000, because they found more and more transactions. And that makes sense because they have to look at every single transaction, correct?
Correct, because to reconcile on the treasurer's side, you're supposed to reconcile your banks to your cash book daily. So basically what Hartman and Williams did from January 2013 through December 14 was they turned over every sheet of paper basically between that period of time, and they reconciled daily. And that is a very tedious process, to say the least, especially when you're sort of 2 years behind schedule.
No, that's a horrible process, having done some of that on a very minor basis in my own world. Okay, Steve, there's a couple of questions that I'm curious about. One, it seems like one of the things that we hear about fairly frequently are their numbers that are being presented to the county council, and some of them have not been making sense. There's been problems with the TIF districts, for instance. There's been some problems with numbers where we thought we had one assessment number, and then it came out that it was wrong by quite a bit. And I feel like a lot of what I'm hearing sounds like an institutional knowledge problem, meaning that, you know, really the people in your office and in the treasurer's office are all fairly new at their jobs. They don't have the years of experience that used to be in those offices. Am I reading that correctly? What do you think when we have numbers that, say, someone like a Marty Hawk, who's been on the council for a very, very long time, and she's very familiar with the numbers. It's her thing. She really likes it. And so she recognizes when numbers don't make sense.
Right. TIFs are is big in this county. Unfortunately, as a county auditor, and I'm probably one of 92 county auditors that don't like TIFs from an accounting standpoint. They're a nightmare. About a year or so ago, we had a major problem with the TIFs inside the city of Bloomington that we had to work with the city on. For example, the Smallwood Plaza building sitting over my shoulder there was supposed to be in a TIF, but was never placed in the TIF when it started, so therefore we had to adjust all that information. In regards to the most recent issue concerning the net AVs, we have to enter stuff in the gateway, and as county auditor, and I take the full blame for it, we had to get the information into gateway, and we were fully aware that we had an issue, and we thought we knew where the area was, and basically as we had talked to the people at DLGF, and they said, well, get it into the system, get it, because keep in mind, we have almost 65,000 parcels, and so that's a pretty good-sized file. And within one day after we got it entered into Gateway, maybe a day and a half, we were able to find out where the problem was. And the problem was, guess what, in the TIFs. In a TIF district, in a parcel that's assigned to a TIF district, you have a net assessed value for it. Well, a percentage of it goes to the TIF, and a percentage of it stays with that respective taxing district. For some reason, we had parcels that was running it all to the TIF, which therefore was upping the TIF assessed values and decreasing the others and that's the $82 million issue.
Was that a data entry problem? Was that a not reading it right? Tell us how that would happen. Give me your best guess, yeah.
It's probably not reading it right, to be honest with you. Do we have the TIF issue down pat? No, we don't. Why? Because it changes, seems like, every time the weather changes out there. The TIFs, because with the super TIF that the city of Bloomington is creating, that's going to have some changes. But keep in mind is that when that would happen, that's 16 pay 17 when the super TIF sort of kicks into play. So have we had issues with TIFs? Yes, we have. We've had people working on them. We've gone to try to get expert help, things like that.
Do you have enough people in your office to handle all this if it's changing so frequently and have that?
No, we do not. We are an understaffed office. When you compare the number of people in this office on October 5th, 2015, to the same time in, say, 2009, you're going to see that we're short two people. And so, therefore, you know, it's been cut back due to budgetary, restraints, things like that.
And what about training? What about training?
We try to send people as much as we can to training.
If you're short in the office, who are you going to send?
Well, that's the problem is you can't, for example,
And eggs.
Yeah, you can't take two or three people and say, okay, you're going to go train. You got to train them one at a time. And therefore, sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad. And it can be bad because you have a lot of time in between the able to send them, and you don't have the adequate backup. It's nice to send two people to train so that they can both understand and back each other up. So in my opinion, because we're short-staffed, it's created some problems. But unfortunately, I fully understand the budgetary constraints issues, and we're hanging in there. I mean, we've lost a lot of people just recently this year, because of the fact that they've left to go to the private sector for more money. We've lost two people that's left to go to another county office because that office pays more money than what my office pays.
Would you feel would it be better if the state or whoever makes these decisions say, hey, the people in this office need to be this level professionally, which would help raise that rate, which would keep them around? Do you need help from the state on that? Or how do you retain these people?
In my opinion, you retain the people by looking at the salary they make. So, for example, you take payroll, which is a very important job, and it affects everyone in this county. It's important that you have a salary in place that is compatible to the private sector. Now, we're not saying $40,000 or $50,000, but you've got to bring salaries in certain positions up to a compatible level.
Or they're going to leave you.
Or they're going to leave, and that's right, and this has been our problem.
Now, that's an interesting point that gets lost in this whole shuffle here is people say, well, you're just going to raise your budgets because when you raise raises don't go away, right. And if you bring on people, they don't go away. But I think there has to be a look at some point where there's got to be a sliding scale if we don't pay and we're losing people and then we have to keep overtraining people.
But we have $45,000 a garage space for building a new garage glass.
I mean, that's a valid point, Margaret. And
I really do.
That graph needs to be put out there and say, okay, if we keep losing people, here's what's going to happen, and if you pay people, now I know everybody doesn't want to raise this and raise that, but it has to be looked at because
there's professional places over in the courthouse for the county, and there's professional jobs that do need to. We need to be having the proper training in place, and we need to have the people paid in such an amount that we're not losing them every 15 minutes. And I don't think that's a completely valid problem.
I think it's a valid discussion,
yes.
At least so each side can present its case and say, hey, here's, but if you don't want to pay, this is
$45,000 of space for parking is more important.
That's interesting. Steve Salter.
And if I may add
something to
that, I know this may offend people, but the auditor's office is probably one of the most important, if not the most important, department of county government from a financial standpoint. And the reason why is because every financial transaction that comes through this county in some form or another hits this office.
Yeah, there's absolutely no question about it. And
having those numbers is very important, as we've heard repeatedly from Marty Hawk.
And with the and we only have about 90 seconds left.
Sure.
Steve, and Steve Stalter's our guest. He's the county auditor. We're hoping to check in with him again down the road here, because we got a very busy end of 2015 that's coming up.
Yes.
But quickly, give me your opinion on, I want to make sure I get the name right here, the Hartman Williams. From what you've heard from him so far, do you think their findings are accurate, and are those changes getting ready to be made? Are they in the process of being made to go forward?
Or are we going to end up with another report that we sit on and just nothing happens with it, Steve? Because
in regards to the items that pertains to the treasurer's office, I do not know at this time where that is, and that would have to be asked of the treasurer.
Right.
Any items pertaining to the auditor's office, okay, except for what we just talked about, the importing issue, which is a software issue
sure.
that may result in us changing systems, may. Everything else was either already corrected or is being corrected as of October 1st. They were what I call minor instances. Hartman and Williams is a highly professional group of former State Board of Accounts people. Having come from that background, I greatly appreciated their honesty in piecing this report together, because that is a way I think this county needed. They needed a good
roadmap,
what I call State Board of Accounts generated report type of concept that will point out their problems, so we can get them fixed and move forward.
Excellent job, Steve. We appreciate your time, and we'd love
Thank
to have you,
you
on in the future
on.
As well. I'll be in touch with you, and we hope to hear from you again.
Mike, may I add one thing
yeah,
real quick?
Yeah, please, please, please.
Okay, I want to invite you, Margaret, anyone listening to this broadcast, and the HT, the Herald Times, to come to our office anytime, shadow the employees on the property side, financial side of both, and see how a multi-million-dollar operation is running with limited staff.
Well, that's absolutely fair. That's absolutely fair, Steve.
That's very
and you've been nothing but fair today. And again, we'd love to have you on as as the report eventually comes out, and hear which direction it's heading. And we thank you again for your time on a Monday morning.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
Steve Stalter, the county auditor. Great job there, coming on and telling us about what's happening in the office. There have been questions. He provided answers. And again, there's your invitation. Go down and see what's going on.
Well,
and the Hartman and Williams reports, again. Two things here. There's an auditor side of things and a treasurer side of things. So we have to keep that in mind. And moving forward, we're going to have Steve back on, because we talked before we came on. He said he'd like to do this again. There's going to be some decisions made on new software, not new software perhaps. He told us that.
Right.
On moving forward, so the communication gets better.
And why aren't they training their staff almost ahead of time before they get
the whole point is, if they're going to change software, if that's a software issue,
that's
why we want to have Steve back on, because he will give us a timeline of what's happening and will give us more sense to that.
Yeah.
All right, good stuff on a Monday.